First District State Senator Ken Winters finished his last regular session of his legislative career last month. Winters is a lifelong educator and has served as Dean of the College of Industry and Technology at Murray State and President of Campbellsville University. He spent 8 years in the Kentucky Senate making significant headway in the Commonwealth's education policy. He joins me today to talk about this past session and his legacy in the Kentucky legislature. So you've had a direct impact on 8 of 33 Senate bills that became law this session. Those bills you either sponsored or that went through the Senate Education Committee, which you chair.
Right.
So which bill are you most proud of that that you had an impact on this session?
One bill that comes to mind is, and it comes to mind because we spent roughly 2 years, the governor established this Transforming Education in Kentucky Task Force 2 years ago. And as a result of that, I served on that task force. And as a result of it, one of the recommendations involved trying to pull together the career and technical programs that, 54 or so of the schools are assigned to workforce development, not Kentucky Department of Education. And then about 16 of them are controlled or managed by local school districts. And those were separate, and even the curricula was not common in some of those programs. So as a result of that Transforming Education in Kentucky Task Force, there was a recommendation that they pull together another work group to look at career and technical ed. And we did that at several meetings, had several subgroups working on that, and we brought forth a recommendation that was organizationally a little different than Senator Westwood's bill on career pathways. But both of those came along during this session. And actually, one of the things we did do is the locally controlled school came to be locally controlled because the local officials in that particular district petitioned to have that school that was heretofore under the workforce development transferred to them. And that happened, at least there's 16 of them like that. But there wasn't the reciprocal opportunity for the schools to move from one. So we did get that component in budget language this time that would allow that to happen. But in a nutshell, the Career Pathways Bill takes into account that there are many people that may not want to go to college. There are many people that get frustrated, get disenfranchised, whatever, however you want to describe it. And this bill will try to capture them the minute we realize they're at risk. And we began to put career counselors with them and nurture them and try to keep them on track. And it happens to be my belief that's the way you prevent dropouts.
Also, Senate Bill 95 related to summer learning camps,
yeah,
and essentially, was the impetus to help reduce achievement gaps.
It is, and reduce that summer gap in their recollection of what they've learned too. So there's a significant decrease in a student's ability coming back in the fall from where they left the system back in the spring. This is funded with Title I money, which is money is available to do this, and they would then be allowed, especially if they're on free or reduced lunch, and others if they want to chip in and help pay a little for it too. But they can come in during the summer and have special teachers to deal with math and some of the areas that they feel like they need some emphasis in. And it goes beyond that to helping with their socialization, with athletic activities and various things. So the summer learning camp is one that, a lot of bills we do not succeed the first time we bring them out of the chute, but this one was the second time we've done that bill, and this time it really gained in support. It can make a big difference in a young person because, they come back in, they forgot a lot of things, and I don't know about you, but I forget a lot of things,
yeah,
too. So when I come back in the fall and I'm a little bit short on my recollection, then I'm going to struggle for a while. That may set the stage for me to begin thinking about dropping out at upper ages.
How does this work? Are school districts funded to offer these summer camps? Are they required to offer these summer learning camps?
No. It's strictly a volunteer program, and they qualify by the percentage of their students are on free and reduced lunch, and then that qualifies them to use Title I money to help fund that. But other students, as I pointed out, other students could participate if if the parents wanted to help underwrite the cost of it.
Let's talk about something not necessarily education-oriented, the slow-moving vehicle sign that you are behind and push that through.
There are people all over the state that for religious beliefs do not will not accept the use of that. And so when the word got out that I was interested in this, and I worked with the ones over here and the ones up in Logan County, and I had people from all over the nation that were contacting me and saying, thank you for taking this on, and here are some resources you might want to look at. And so I looked at every state that have made such accommodations, primarily Illinois and Wisconsin and Ohio and a few other states. And I went through and made a list of things that they had used. And then I had a numerous sessions with the people over in Graves. And then we came up with what I think was an absolute improvement on the safety issue. It accommodates their religious beliefs, too. And I made a comment in the committee that it will not be abnormal a decade or two decades from now, some of the religious beliefs that one of us has may be challenged. And I'm hoping that others will take up our case and help us weather that kind of storm. And this one does for them. But I had to be, in my own mind, comfortable that what we're doing to them not only creates a safer environment for them, but it creates a safer environment for all of us that drive the roads with them. Because there's nothing that would hurt me more than run over one of those buggies. And you come over a hill and the triangle is down at the bottom of it, and you're right on top of it by the time you see that thing there. But when you look at the configuration we have with tape and lamps, and not only on the back of it, but on the sides and on the front, so that you can, if you're coming toward it, you know where the vehicle's at in relationship to the road. So it is by far a safer one. And a lady that lives near them over in Graves County, I told them I needed some photographs. Before the session started, they had two buggies rigged like the ones that I describe in the bill. And I said, I want photos up close at 200 feet, 400, 600, and 1,000 feet away. And I want sitting there with a buggy with a triangle on it and show them all the way to comparison of the two all the way out to 1,000 feet. And those photographs instantly sold the bill.
Would you consider this past session successful for you in the state Senate?
I would. And one thing that the governor had signed another bill, Senate Bill 213, was a bill that helps foster children. And I had some people that work with them and a number of the young people that are about to leave the foster care. And like it is now, they might come in and say, on the day before their 18th birthday, and say, are you ready? Are you going to recommit to us? Or are you going out on your own? Well, I began to think myself, if Mom and Dad had set two suitcases out on the front porch when I was 18 and then said, good luck to you, stay in touch with us, I'm not sure how prepared I would be. And therefore, they don't need to have to make that decision without a period of orientation and counseling and preparing them to make that. And then we instead of recommittal, that sounds like you're going to an institution. Mm-hmm. So we call it expansion of transitional living. And so this bill, I think, is one that will have a great impact on young people in foster care as they leave or as they decide not to leave and stay in the program and let us as a state help them through an educational experience. And some of the young people that testified for us won the hearts of everyone there. So that was a major bill, simple bill, but yet it had an emotional side to it that everyone was excited about.
You've spent 8 years in the Kentucky Senate. Can you hang your hat on one piece of legislation that you think will be your legacy in the Senate?
Well, I suspect probably be Senate Bill 1, but it was a bold step, and it related to how we assess young people at the end of each year and how we use that assessment in their accountability. And everyone was worried about how much time we spent in assessing and how early it was in the semester before graduation. And this one, it develops new core content for the areas that are a little narrower than the ones before but are deeper, so that we build basic skills. And the other issue is we don't have much that the student is held responsible for in the old CATS testing system. We were evaluating schools, not students. And naturally, the school's rating will be based on how the students do, but there was virtually no way for us to track student-specific data at the student level and track them and going forward. And I made a comment to the state school board one time. I said, you know, you may not believe this, but as a university president, I've never admitted a high school to college. And some of them grinned because they knew where I was going, and the others, a few of them did not, because I'd gone a little bit beyond how they had thought about it. But I said, I know it's important for you to know how, and I use this example, how Pikeville High School and Paducah-Tillman High School compare. But at the university, it doesn't matter to me. I'm interested in how Johnny and Mary have progressed from the time they started in the school and as they come upward. If I'm going to put together a financial package to attract a young person, I need for them to have had some skin in the game as they moved along. So I'm proud of that bill, and I do believe that in the long haul it will make the difference in young people's lives.
Was there anything that you regret not having passed? Like, if you could pick, you know, you have your best accomplishment, what's the best thing that didn't get accomplished that you really wish would have?
Well, there's several things I could talk about there, but one thing that I've always wanted, everything I can do to entice a young person to work aggressively and work hard, but to help them make a decision very quickly to go on into post-secondary education of some kind, whether it's a technical school or whatever. This year I had my early graduation bill. This is the third year that we've had it. And what it does is that, or would have done, it did not get approved at the last minute. We thought it was going to, but it establishes an 18-hour requirement, which includes AP courses or international baccalaureate courses, and it requires foreign language courses, and requires 4 mathematics and 4 English, but yet they do it in 3 years. The young person and their parents agree that as they enter high school that they would like to participate in the early graduation program, and you'll see just in a moment why they would be interested, other than just showing their capability. But if they elect to do that, then some of them, and some of them already are, taking high school algebra in the eighth grade, an English class in the eighth grade, a freshman English class. So some of them would need to do that in this program. But they then graduate at the end of their junior year. The number would probably be fairly small, but what it does, it allows them to leave, and the school district, just like a dropout, they've now left the school, and therefore the SEEK formula that would have been coming to the school to support them as a senior doesn't exist anymore. What happened to it? It went into a trust fund that then, if they go immediately into post-secondary ed, go to the university or a career and technical school, it would move with them and pay basically the cost of their tuition for their first year. But they can't wait a year to do it. They have to do it the very first year out. So it's one that truly I would love to have seen. I have to tell you that I won't, because I won't be up there, I won't neglect to have some input on some of these that we didn't get done.
Who do you think might succeed you as the chair of the Education Committee?
Well, naturally, it won't be a decision for me to make, but there's at least, you know, I'm thinking of at least 2 people that are already on the committee that are dynamic people, and I wouldn't prejudice by naming them, but we have 2 people already. One of them just emailed me to say, what are the dates of the summer interim joint committee meetings from June through November? And I want to make sure, I'm trying to plan a little trip, but I don't want to miss one of the education committee. So he has that kind of commitment to it. And another person from up in Central Kentucky is a dynamic person either one of them could do a good job with it. They don't bring 38 years
of experience, like
education
you.
experience, but they are absolutely committed to doing what's right for young people in Kentucky.
Well, let's say that after January 1, you're completely out of the fray of politics. You don't really have to worry about partisanship, per se. Can you opine a bit on the future of stiff partisanship in our legislature, strictly between the House and the Senate, and how it's been very partisan over the last at least 8 years?
Yeah, and it seems to get a little more complex as we go along, too. I guess anytime you have strong personalities—
Do you think that the representative speaker of the House and the president of the Senate, when they speak, do you think they speak for the chamber, or do you think that they speak for their party within the chamber?
I'd say quite often the bulk of their speaking is related to their caucus within the chamber. Naturally, that may change from time to time. In fairness to both leaders of the two chambers, I think. They want to do what's right. And my mother always taught me two things for all my life. Now, remember your words about all you have. Now, the quickest way to destroy a relationship between those two leaders is for one of them to renege on a statement. Because I have to know, if it's somebody on my committee, if you say this to me today, I expect it to be similar to what you tell me tomorrow. We have to be straightforward and upfront and consistent and honest in the way we deal with the issue. So I think both of them would like to do that kind of role, and maybe they will become a little easier next time.
So you've endorsed Trigg County Judge Executive Stan Humphreys to fill your seat in the Senate,
right,
and he'll face Carol Hubbard, who you faced last time that you ran. Are you confident that Stan Humphreys can win this race?
I am. Naturally, even if I'm running again, you don't take anything for granted. It doesn't matter how much you think you're going to win by. You have to give it every ounce of your energy. And my first time 8 years ago, when I made a decision to do it in November, then I went at it aggressively from then up till, and here comes the primary along, and I've been going at it just like I had a primary opponent.
Mm-hmm.
And some people got kind of offended when they went down to vote in the primary and found out I'm not even on there. But the issue is that Stan Humphreys is an outstanding fella. He's two-term judge executive over there, and you've seen him on the media as it relates to the bridge incident and mm-hmm. everything else. So he's on top of it. He's a farmer by background. A lot of people call me about him, and many of them will say, and I'll start, he's a two-term judge executive, and et cetera. And they say, but do you support him? That's the question I have. And I say, absolutely do. He's the kind of person that will represent us in a magnificent way. He probably wind up being on agriculture or on state and local government committee as his primary interest level when he gets there. But it's not what his specialty is and what his interests are. It's what kind of person is he? Can we trust him with the future of our Senate district? And that's where I feel he brings so much to the table.
Well, Senator Ken Winters, retiring State Senator Ken Winters, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.